the Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sinani. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gaining power influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
And welcome to the Hostile Zone. That's right. It's another week. It's Monday. Monday, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. My West Coast people, you'll be here soon. Here we are with the infamous Eric A. Sinani. Eric Sinani. Eric Andrew Sinani. All my cameras. Here with my lovely co-host, Miss Bianca C. Say hello to our fans.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be good.
Welcome. Here we are yet another Monday, and we are still in the fanfare. We're still here.
Yes. Happy to be here.
Lots of emails. I'm going to put it right out before we get started for today's show. Lots of emails. I can't respond to everybody's email. I wish I could. There's too many, but I'm working to do my best at getting to everybody, the different cameras. I don't know what cameras to even look at, but you can watch us live as you do on Mondays, and we are available everywhere. We're on every single streaming service you can think of, so you can get all the old episodes. We're running live on Facebook. We're running live on other networks now. And there's a few new ones. I got to talk to my producer. I have to sign up for something, some paperwork for some more networks that are going to be picking it up. But I want you to just say it out to everybody. We have emails, and I want to just let everybody know that I do try to read them, and I do, and I do, and I do respond to as many as I can. And I make a point to shout it out. I even have to do a video promo after the show today. I was supposed to do it before, and I'm sure that this particular this ad agency is waiting for my video response, and I will be getting it to you tonight, so you can watch the show as you I'm sure you are. Someone sent me like 4 emails to talk about some endorsements of some products in some commercial space, etc. So remind me at the end after filming here today, I have to do that and get that off. So
I'm right on top.
Here we are. So how was your week?
Oh, my week has been lovely.
Anything crazy exciting this
week? The weather
week
has been awesome. Mostly, to be honest, writing a couple of lyrics. And
you like to tell us about those lyrics?
It's about women in encouragement. And it's about, I've been into singing to, I recently had a baby with
Oh, did you?
Yes, absolutely. Wow. So I've been singing a lot to my son. So
you want to give us a little lullaby sample?
No. For later.
No endorsements yet on lullabies.
Not good.
No lullaby endorsements. Lullabies. You going to sing a lullaby? Hi, over there.
Hey,
producer over there.
It's exciting at the moment, but when you make up stuff, it's inspiration, and when you sing something like out of nowhere, it sounds good, and then you put 2 and 2 together, and that's how you make a song.
And Jerry, my publicist, is over there going, no, don't talk about any, no, he's not, no, get, okay, I got you. No, I can't talk about lullabies. I'm not the picture frame of children's lullabies.
Style zone.
You're here with the infamous. And definitely lied about, but really not so much, and I don't really care if you are. Because if you are lying about me, thank you. 2 million listeners, streamers last week. I probably got about 800,000 emails. I crashed emails continuously. If anybody wants me to do a sponsorship, let it be a cell phone company that can figure out I got the largest gigabytes or whatever they have in the phones, and I still keep crashing them because of these emails. Because apparently I don't want it to push the emails because it's overloading the phone. Anyway, so my publicist is screaming at me. Let's move forward. And if you could hear my ear, it would be even better. Yelling in there, too.
Oh, so I see you had the
Yes. Would you like to show our fans the pocketbook?
You see the pocketbook?
The pocketbook.
And this is the Declaration of Independence.
And the U.S. Constitution.
U.S. Constitution. And wait.
This copy provided by the Cato Institute. Mm. I got all the cameras. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Woo, the Cato. Okay. All right. And I have my Abraham Lincoln quote book. All right. And my Abraham Lincoln pen. What did you bring with you today? She's gonna pay them to...
the name, by the way, but it's it's a name brand.
You know the brand. You know the brand, and if the people that are waiting for me to say the thing, if they're a client to the ad agency, and Jerry's giving me maybe a thumbs up on that. So my publicist said maybe. there you go. All right, let's talk about it.
It's very cool.
All right, so we were last week discussing third party. Stuff. And what makes me laugh, Miss Bianca, is last week I talked about how it would be very interesting if there were to be a third party. And guess what? They were talking about that this week on another network. Who's copying my glasses? Check your Facebook.
Oh.
I was wearing them first, Jesse. That's right. I might say the last name, but Jesse, I saw you rocking my glasses, man. But thank you for hitting me up on Facebook. You're all right. You're all right, Jesse. You're the man.
It's funny. I've been telling you lately. I'm like, oh, you know, this one looks like you.
Yeah.
I'm like, I bet you one of these days.
And I got to start wearing the tie now.
And then, boom.
You got the same glasses. I was going to switch them up today, too. And I went into the studio. You were like, nah, don't wear no glasses. You got to compete with Jesse. anyway, so he's not on the same time slot as us, so we're all right. He's probably watching. He's probably in the studio, bitching at us. Because we do run with an affiliate network, so I do know for a fact he sees us because we have an affiliation with a same network. Anyway, so we were talking about third parties last week.
Okay.
What do you remember about your third party? Where we were talking about if you had your Republican, your Democrat. And you were very knowledgeable last week.
Yes, absolutely.
And you want to give us a little reminder: which color is which party? This is like school. Like they showed up next week, and this is like
any basics that would
just getting you caught up.
Any
just person keeping it fresh.
That's starting just throwing politics. It at you. Let's see what
throwing it at you.
The red was the elephant,
and that is.
The elephant is Republican.
The Republican.
Republican Party. And then the blue is the donkey.
The donkey.
Yeah, the donkey. And that
otherwise is known as a
Democrat.
No, you thought I was going to say it, people. You thought I was going to say something other than a donkey or a jack. Beep. You know what I'm saying. We're running live, so I didn't want to use the rest of the word. But yes, the Democrats. So we got the red and the blue. And we were talking about third parties.
Yes, remember I was talking about the Matrix, the red pill
and the blue pill. Right. Well, the blue pill now means a couple things. Oh, that's another endorsement. Is a Pfizer up or no? Pfizer up? No. No.
They're telling you no.
No, I'm getting it. No. Okay. Anyway, so
yes,
I was talking. We were discussing that last week in last week's show, and interestingly enough, I was seeing some information that one of the Kennedys, Mr. Robert Kennedy, right? Is it Robert Kennedy?
Came out of the blue.
Is he? He's talking about maybe third party. Third party, which was very interesting conversation we had last week, because we were talking about what would happen. That would be the major spoiler. That would be the spoiler, because if he were to. And now, hopefully, I mean, I don't know if there's anybody else going to come out of the blue and do this, but if you were to get 15 to 20% of the vote, the majority of those votes would probably come from President Biden's camp. A majority of those people would probably be Democrats. But here's the other thing. A lot of Republicans seem to like Kennedy. Interestingly enough.
Does come from an amazing family, so
right.
They have a history right there.
They know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They know how to play to a crowd. They know how to, listen, whatever people may think about any political person that has been in the process, you still have to love your country. You still have to want to do it because you do really get beat up.
Absolutely.
And I've said it a couple of weeks in a row, and I don't want to beat the fans out on listening to that. I have to reiterate it because we're coming into a major election cycle. Mm-hmm. Every 4 years, we have a major election cycle. It's a major election cycle. So if you think it's happening now, we didn't even start yet. We really didn't start yet. It's going to start. You're going to start seeing commercial after commercial after commercial. It's just going to be boom, boom, boom. It's just going to get, it's just going to tumble down. It's going to tumble down. So,
and I have to say, it is very brave for someone to come out in public and conquer that and loving their country. It takes a lot of a sacrifice for your own privacy just to be out there.
You have to want to. You have to want it. And you know, like I said, how much money do these people actually make? You know, at the end of the day, that are they really getting rich? I mean, we're not going to talk about negativity and stuff like that. But I mean, are they getting rich? I mean, if you put that much effort into your public persona, right, and you put that much time into it, you would think you'd want to be a screen actor or something like that, right, or a performer. Or a public speaker. I mean, people make a lot of money. Actually, speaking of public speaking, I've gotten some calls recently about doing a couple engagements, motivational speaking. I actually got invited to speak at a college university. So,
well, congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, I can't keep up with these emails, but so I understand. And the amount of money that is on the table for these different events, not so much for me, but I mean, like what's on the table, what's been offered to me, I'm not going to say it's not good. I mean, call it out to you guys if you're watching. Yes, I appreciate that the offer, but I also see what other people get to as they move forward up in the system. You know, they do really well. So
looking forward to seeing
if, yeah, exactly. So my point is that if you're making all these speeches in public life and you're out there, you know, quote unquote kissing babies and, you know, shaking hands and doing debates, which, you know, I love the impromptu discussions. I do. But you're out there, if you were doing a public engagement, some people, I was actually talking to, Jordan Belfort. Shout out to Jordan Belfort, right?
Oh, yes.
Love that movie. Call it out there. So we had communicated a few times back and forth with the publicist, et cetera. Yeah, and I was like looking at some of his videos, getting some pointers and stuff. And he gets like $200,000 for a speaking engagement, for a 90-minute speaking engagement. That was kind of what I was talking to my agent and publicist about. And that's why we had spoke with them. I have a quite interesting array of friends.
So, yes, you do.
Yeah.
But you all have in common.
Who is the most interesting person that you've met through me in our escapade? Since, you know, I have quite an array of people.
Well, I've been very star. One time I've been starstruck. It has to be Tim Allen.
Tim Allen, shout out to Tim. I'll check it out on Facebook. Yeah, we can't say where we were. Him.
He was a good guy. He made me a super fan, though.
He's a great guy.
Great guy.
So out of all the people that you've met coming out with me and all the entourage, that's one. Tim Allen was the one that you most impressed.
Yes.
No. Wait. We were just watching something the other day, and you said to me, quote, you did not recognize wearing this person's hat. And then you saw them a couple years back, and you said, oh, I did see. Yeah. Who is that? You want to say who it is? Come on. Come on. You stole the guy's hat. You stole his hat and took pictures of him.
This guy, it was... I apologize
if he's watching.
We're at a social event, and
he came over and said,
he was right next to us. And then I was like very friendly.
I didn't tell you all the people you were meeting.
I love your hat. I am obsessed about your hat. And it was like a stamp on the page as well. And I was like, oh, I love Stenson hats. I'm like, and I just...
She didn't. You knew who it was.
She said he was so polite.
She took it right off his head. He had a cigar in his mouth.
Went like this, and he was so charming. And he said, "That Stenson looks good on you." And I was like, "Thank you."
And you had no idea.
And then tell him the name because I always get a screwed up.
Really?
I do.
Oh, Ted, you're gonna kill me. United States Senator Ted Cruz of Texas.
Oh, yes.
She saw me on TV the other day. She was talking about, and I said, you had a drink with the guy. You took his hat off his head and put it on.
He was so different because at the time he didn't have
he was growing a beard.
Or anything. So it was like, wow.
We were watching Ted. Hard for the show. I have to watch all kinds of stuff all week. So I'm sitting in the office watching U.S. Congress and investigative journalist stuff, and I'm looking at all these things, and she comes in and she's like, what are you watching for hours and hours? And I'm like, this one. And she's like, who is that?
I'm like, he looks so familiar.
I'm like, don't say what they said. He looks a little different now than he did in 16 or 17. You met him in 17.
Mm-hmm.
But interesting. So you called out Tim Allen, but not he was not an interesting meet. And you had a drink with somebody else, but we can't say who that is.
No, we can't.
He's a jurist, so we have to be careful. He probably shouldn't have even been where he was that day.
So
my point is that when I was part of the show and moving forward, and my publicist and agent were like, you really need to, I have to pay attention to stuff. Not that I have to, there's always room for growth. Everybody out there, there's always room for growth, right? You can always get better at what you do. So I want to see, I need to know what's going on, and I need to see the skills and what it is that the people are doing. So this way I can not mimic, I don't want to mimic, but I want to see what other successful people are doing. So we can take ours to the next level.
I'm trying.
And I think that is what I've heard from people that has been doing well. With that, we're going to go to commercial break.
Okay.
Don't go anywhere. The Hostile Zone. Keeping it fresh, but light. Looking at you. Sonati's here. And I'm listening. Be right back.
Use your voice. Sonati hears you. Use your voice. Let it be heard. Use your voice. Sonati hears you. Use your voice.
I am Eric A. Sonati. You've never heard of me. Or yes, you have. You're questioning, have you? You're thinking about it. Either way, you will know me now. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Do not be anywhere else. Be seated in your car, in your office, on your couch. I don't care what you're doing. Put the remote down. Put the hands-free away. Listen to the radio. You're listening to me, the Hostile Zone, where we pull back the curtain and expose and hold no punches on people that use their position and use your money for no good.
Use your voice, Sonati hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, Sonati hears you. Use your voice.
Then we're back. As always, Sonati hears you. He's right here. Do you hear me?
I hear you.
But do they hear me?
I'm sure everyone hears
now,
you.
Kenny's giving me the finger over there. What is that? You want to come on the show, Kenny?
He's like,
yeah. Angle the camera over there. Get the camera. Get one of them cameras over there. Get the behind the scenes camera over there. He ran around thinking. All right. Yeah, go down there. Go grab a coffee. There you go. Grab me a coffee.
There you go.
All right. So we're back. So we're talking third party here. So we got off on a little spin about public speaking engagement. But I was really serious because like Jordan Belfort, for instance, and he's a great example of where you could take it to, no matter how bad things happen in life and what kind of mistakes and what kind of things you've done. If you have a heart and you have resilience and strength and energy behind you, you have charisma and you're not afraid to put it on the line when it all counts, you could come back. I mean, he said he's doing better. We were talking about stuff with the publicist, and while you were around, so you know a little bit of the conversations that I've been having, and he's making more now than he was before, and he said his life is better now than it was before.
Yes.
And the point that I was going back to him,
he
is because
motivates me.
He's a motivator.
When you're
yeah.
on your lowest low.
Frank Sinatra, right?
Yes.
When you're down and out, you're when down. You're down in May, back up in June. That's right. Down in May and back up in June.
Get right back up. Right.
You're down in May and you're back up with syndication. It's pretty amazing how that works out. So anyway, so yeah, I was saying, I mentioned him and along with some others, but it's the fact that $200,000 for a speaking engagement is insane. It's insane.
That is so insane.
Now Jordan said he started his speaking with $50. And now he's up to $200,000.
Does it cure cancer?
remember, we're a live show, so we don't want to use, we can advocate and talk about the things you like. We have to be careful. What did you say?
That was perfect.
I don't want to get beeped out. I don't want to have it edited. So anyway, so yeah, my point is that bringing it into the third party, he gets $200,000 for a speaking engagement now.
Mm.
So if you think, if you're a Kennedy or you're a Trump or you're an Obama or somebody like that, you're going to make, if the president makes $200,000 a year, right? If I'm $450,000, see that? I caught my mistake, so don't have anybody give me crap about it, all right? $450,000 or $475,000, somewhere in that ballpark. Don't quote me, it changes a little bit. But anyway, over $400,000, over $400,000 a year as president. And that's what the salary is, whether or not they actually take that much and whatever they donate, whatever. We're not talking about that.
Okay.
If Jordan Belfort makes $200,000 for a speaking engagement for one 90-minute speech, and they're given the hotel and food and everything else. Yeah. So if the president makes over 400,000, let's go for 400, 450. So that in one 90-minute session, Jordan Belfort makes 50% of what the president makes for the year. Every time any of the presidents had made a speech or went out and kissed babies and whatever, did a book signing, if they got paid that kind of money, then they would not be making $450,000 a year. They'd be making $400,000 a year.
Okay.
I mean, $400 million a year. $4 million, you know what I mean? Whatever. They would not be making $450,000. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? Like 10 times, 20 times what they would be making.
Yeah. I kind of got it.
I'm trying not to be a mathematician here. Right? Yeah, I know. The math is not my strong point, but I'm also not clueless, people. I'm not clueless.
Definitely not.
But anyway, so yeah, my point is that third party, whatever party you're running for office, you're running because of something deep inside, burning inside of you that makes you want the fire in the belly.
The
thing that kicks you up and wakes you up. Like I personally like when people think that they got me, when they think that they outsmarted me, that I didn't know that you were trying to bait me or whatever. And I laugh. It's charisma, fire. It only pumps me up even more. And any publicity is better than zero publicity. Right. So anytime you type it into Google or you do something stupid or mention somebody, you're helping them out.
Mm-hmm.
So that being said, when you're running for office, you're not really making all those extra monies. So bringing it all back into the third party. So why would somebody want to do this? I mean, they have to have some kind of fire in the belly. So
I'm sure he wants to continue and make his
legacy. I mean,
yes.
They did suffer some losses, that family.
A lot of tragedy.
Yes.
You know what?
This tragedy surrounds some people, you know,
break it.
Listen, break the cycle, right?
Break cycle.
Whatever. I don't have anything against any particular person in any particular party based on party affiliation or something like that. I base it on what your stance is and what kind of person you are. Everybody can make a mistake at any point in their career. Your best achievements in life are your failures, people. Your best achievements in life are your failures. But for that failure, you're not going to get your next achievement. Remember that.
Your next second chance, if it's for a positive.
Second, third chance, it doesn't matter. As long if it's not the same repetitive thing over and over and over, you know, if you're having I don't want to say drug and alcohol problem because that's a disease, but I mean, if you're continuously, speeding and getting the same ticket on the same road over and over and over again, then, you know, all right, how many chances are you going to get it? First time, get it, six, second time, but. You know, same thing with drinking and driving. I was going to say, even though I know that it's a touchy subject for some people, but your best achievement is your failure. You're only as good as what you were yesterday.
I always think that once you make a mistake, you always learn from your
mistake. You have to.
Only way.
You have to. And you have to not run from it. You know, get up in front of the camera. Say what you got to say. Don't hide. You know, don't hide behind. Don't be a masked bully hiding behind a bench or behind a door or behind something or, you know, behind a wall. Look somebody in the face and tell them what it is you think. Say it. If you don't like somebody, say what it is you don't like. I mean, I don't
face
understand.
Face your fears.
Face your fears. And, you know, that all is going to come back into the third party is what I want to bring it back to the, you know, the hostile zone. Because it's going to be very hostile in the Democratic Party if he does go for, if he does actually pursue a third party candidacy. That's going to be very, very, very strainful on the Democratic ticket. Now, an interesting piece of thought that I had here was if this were to happen, how do people feel about, all right, follow me if you will. This hasn't really taken place, but it was discussed on another show, and I discussed it before he did, and then I saw it on his show, and you know who you are. And that the third party, I discussed it a couple days before.
Okay.
But my point is that if he were to run, then what would happen? What would happen with our Vice President Kamala Harris? If he runs third party, and is Joe Biden going to drop out of the race? Is the third party candidate Kennedy thinking that he would win? Is he doing it to be the spoiler of the election, to just take be the Ross Perot of the 1991 election with George Bush? Is he trying to be the spoiler and take 22% of the vote? And then that, then that's a major amount of votes out of one side. Now, granted, a lot of people do like Kennedy. I think he's a good speaker. I think that he makes a good valid point on some of his stuff, right? Yeah, so yeah, he makes a good valid point.
Yeah.
Am I thumbs down? Yeah, okay, I'm allowed to say that. Okay, I can say that he makes a valid point.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I'm making sure I was getting. I saw some. I would call it stank face. I was getting stank face from back here, but maybe not. Okay, maybe not. Nope, I'm getting the finger again. All right, so there's no stank face. It was the finger. Don't call me out. Yeah, all right.
You're fine.
Yeah. Anyway, you should go check out social media. You can see the behind-the-scenes footage of these people running as I'm calling them out.
Oh, I was also going to say, too, when a person runs, you're only as good as your team, because there's a lot of people
behind the scenes. We talked
about
that a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Behind the scenes, right. Just to get this up and running, I mean, our show.
To be honest, it's impossible for those the running candidates to write everything that they're talking about or the every topic, because they're going traveling everywhere. And honestly, who has the time to write down things? That's why they have a team there, don't you think? Am I right?
Is this not a notebook in front of him?
Yeah.
The second one, what are you talking about? It's not a writing down. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. You are very right. I'm being facetious. I'm being facetious. But she's right.
I'm always curious. I'm like, wow, what these people have the time? Don't they ever sleep?
Right, right. Well, listen, you know that people get emails from me and they're like, what are you doing at 5:45 in the morning? Email, you get up that early? I'm like, actually, sometimes I didn't even go to bed yet, right? And I'm emailing people.
You know
people.
What? Champions always wake up around 4 o'clock.
I'm up every day. Early, real early, and up real late. I'm not gonna lie. I do. Last night, some people got emails from me at 2, 3, 4 in the morning. I did get like an hour and a half worth of sleep last night. Maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. I think I got two hours sleep. And then I was back at it. And you know, when I got back on, I was looking. I had so many emails.
Oh boy!
And that's when the ad agency was blew me up like four emails like, oh, you got to send this video. They want to know, what do you think I should be I should do sponsors? They want to know who I would be a good commercial for. I'm thinking like, maybe a gym product or cologne.
I think cologne would be good.
Suits. Actually, I got
a cologne fanatic.
And I got my suit. I got my tailor. I got a tailor that does my suits and custom
and
suits.
Watches.
And the watches. Well, actually, I do have a sponsor for the watches, but it's not. They're sponsored through me as an individual, not through the show. But you're more than welcome in the show, Sammy, if you reach out. But anyway, so third party. Yeah. So they were to get 15 to 18%, that would be a major hit. So Kamala Harris, it's just a fascinating thought here. Since you're not a political novice, you're a political novice, a normal person politically, this is a good conversation.
I think I'm more like an average person.
So you're a regular person. I mean, you probably knew more than the regular people.
I'm an artsy girl. So,
oh, yeah. But that's what I'm saying. You're the
average. You always need to know your topic.
Average person. I mean, the average person probably wouldn't know red, blue, and donkey and elephant.
Oh, wow.
So,
I know my current events. So,
So, I was saying that it would be an interesting run, because what did he think that Kamala Harris is, is Joe Biden going to stay in the election and run for re-election? And if he wins, then is he going to resign and give it to? I mean, what's going to happen? I don't know. And then can Kamala Harris, Vice President Harris, actually serve as a president? I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to get into individual policy style or anything like that, but I don't think that she is has the personality to be the person that I would want to be leading our country. It has nothing to do with color, has nothing to do with gender or anything like that. I just think that for her, most of her stuff, her conversations end in some kind of weird laugh. I don't want to call it what some people have called it, because then I'll get haters that'll beat on me for that. But I just think that
I do notice that when a person when she laughs, she kind of feels uncomfortable, and you can see it in her face.
Right. And I don't want we're looking pretty stupid. I mean, out there, I'm right. Right. I mean, we're looking pretty stupid right now, regardless who's in office, between President Biden and President Trump, former President Trump, all the nonsense that's going on between the parties with each other right now, and the impeachment inquiries and the indictments and the Biden suing IRS and blah, blah, blah. I mean, you already look like a bunch of clowns.
It's a circus.
It really is a circus. And you know what? I love Washington, D.C. Don't get me wrong. I mean, D.C. is probably one of my favorite cities in the United States. And it is a circus, but I don't think we need to make that part of our government life visible to our enemies
at all.
We don't need our vulnerabilities exposed that much. We have a border crisis right now. We will be the show. I will be down on the border sometime this before January, or maybe somewhere around then. We've been set up to go. I'm going to be down there riding along for probably like a week, maybe 10 days or so on the border, doing some interviews with some of the people that are down there and, seeing exactly what's going on there. We're going to report it, and we're going to put some footage out, and that's going to be great. So these are crises that we're dealing with. And people, I mean, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I mean, I don't know if I think it's a great idea to run a third party right now. I don't know if it really is a great idea.
Well, there's still a lot of time.
Is it time to buckle down? Is it time to buckle down and go back to basics? Go back to basics. We're a two-party system. We have a lot of stuff going on in our country right now. We have a border crisis. We have presidential scandals on both sides. Both sides are having problems.
It's not really looking good.
We have so much stuff going on. We have a border crisis. We have women's rights issues. We have health issues. We have poverty. We have all this normal stuff. We have a fentanyl. Let's get reality. We have a fentanyl crisis in this country, and it is going to get worse before it gets better.
Right.
Going to get worse before it gets better. Who was I watching or communicating with the other day? And was telling me about somebody recently to a fentanyl death. Maybe I don't want to say who it is because they are a public figure as well. And we were talking, and I don't know if I can say that. But anyway, this is happening. And this person's daughter died of a fentanyl overdose, and she wasn't taking fentanyl.
Really?
His daughter had a prescription for Adderall, a prescription for Adderall, you know, the dextro amphetamine, which is Adderall, you know, Ritalin, Adderall, you know, for attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, which runs rampant on college campuses. But I mean, she actually had a prescription for it, and she forgot a prescription or ran out or something like this, and she, in an emergency, needed to get it, and she bought one off of somebody, and it was a fentanyl-laced Adderall pill, right?
Oh, my goodness.
A fentanyl-laced Adderall pill, and she died because she was doesn't take fentanyl. She's not a she's not an opiate user. She was trying to take Adderall because she had a prescription, but she was on a trip and didn't have any and couldn't get any. And because of the drug abuse on the streets, she couldn't get a prescription because people abuse their prescriptions. So people that need them are not getting them. And that's a crisis in itself. I have personal knowledge of this, that people need medications can't get them because other people abuse them. So this young lady needed this prescription, and wherever she was, she could not get the prescription, and she was forced to get it from somebody else because she needed it, and it was laced with fentanyl. This is the first I've actually heard of an individual that actually went to get Adderall.
How could it be laced?
And got a late. There are, one is the speed, and one is a pain medication, a depressant. So one is a stimulant and a depressant. It's kind of like the old Red Bull and alcohol mixture. I mean, they're talking about a major battle with each other.
Well, that's
she
why
died.
It's major. That's why they ask you
and she died.
Of your weight, height, and weight, because then they can figure out how much of the percentage of dosage you need.
Yep.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
But she doesn't take anything that would, so no one even knew what to expect. Because she took the Adderall pill and it looked like a regular Adderall.
Wow.
It came from somebody that she thought had it, and maybe they didn't even know they had it laced, but she died.
They didn't even know
what she was overdosing of because she was not somebody that was popping pills. She wasn't taking it in a recreational experience. So she wasn't in the party situation. So nobody even knew what was happening to her.
That's
and she died.
So
with
sad.
That, I want to go on break because I want to take a breath from that and move on. But fentanyl is an issue, and I wanted to just talk about this person. Don't go anywhere. We still got 25 minutes left. Come back to the Hostile Zone. Sonai hears you.
The Hostile Zone, hosted by the infamous and dangerous and much lied about Eric A. Sonai. This is where public corruption, abuse of power, a waste and misuse of public dollars, and ultimately using your personal position for gain and power influence over others is met with extreme hostility. Otherwise, everyone else is welcome. Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
This is Eric A. Sonati. You're asking who this guy is? Eric A. Sonati is the guy you're going to be listening to at 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern on this station and this station only. This is where you're going to be in the Hostile Zone, where I'm going to pull back the curtain and expose public abuse, abuse of public dollars, and people who, yes, use their position for personal gain and use their position to hold you down to expound their life. We're going to pull back. We're going to show you who they are, and we're going to call them out in the Hostile Zone. See you there. 6 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Monday. You do not want to miss it.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice.
And we're back. We're back. You're here on the Hostile Zone. Welcome, welcome. Thank you for staying around. I didn't want to have to reach through a camera or show up in your neighborhood and look for you or send out a political operative to hunt you down. We didn't want to do that. So thank you for coming back. So we were talking about fentanyl. We were talking about crisis. Yes. And we were really talking about the third-party candidate. But we were talking about America looking weak, looking disorganized, bumbling over ourselves, being lost and not hearing our people, being lost and not hearing ourselves. Hear yourself. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror and say, "What are you doing?" I mean, I always believe in hitting the reset button, rebooting the computer, bringing it back to basics. Get up early, train in the morning, whether it be physical, mental, whatever. Bring it back to basics. The basics. We're a two-party system, so I don't know if this election is the best election to be right now with all these this nonsense going on, is this right now the best time to be looking at a third party? I don't know. Message me if you want and give me your thoughts on that. Mm-hmm. I think that it's great for the selection. We did discuss that. There's more to choose from, right. But I think that's going to require a lot of money, and it's going to be very, very big distraction to a lot of people with all this stuff going on.
I think that's what they're doing.
Yes, and that's really, is this a ploy? And that's
it is a ploy.
You exactly hit the mark. You hit the mark. Is it a ploy, or are they truly wanting something to happen? Or is this just a game? Is it just a game to pull a smoke and mirrors, the smoke screen down? And is it going to be business as usual? I mean, I don't know. If a third party works and they do that on and one of the Kennedy runs, you know, he runs for president on a third party, then what's to say that's one of these Republicans that are not running, that are running in the primary, and you know, and President Bush hasn't shown. Whoa, that's going way back 20 years ago. President Trump is not going to the debates, and we lost our speakers. I don't know. So you know, it's just one of those things that I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, is this the right time? Are we bringing it back to a time that we don't want it to go to right now? And I'm just looking at it and I'm saying, what are they thinking? What are we doing? Because if there's people on the stage that are running in the Republican primary, what's to say one of them don't go third party now? Now you're going to have four people run. So it's not really a third party. Now you're looking at a fourth sort of party. You got your traditional Republican, traditional Democrat. Then you got your bluish independent and your reddish independent. Now you really muck the water. Now you're going to elect somebody that's going to win the presidency with potentially less than 50%, potentially less than 45% of the vote, and maybe less than 40 or 40, maybe 41, 42% of the vote.
Oh boy, that's not even half my research.
It's not even half of the votes. I mean, when George Bush ran, George W. Bush ran against George H.W. Herbert Walker Bush ran in 1991 against William Jefferson Clinton, mm-hmm. And then Ross Perot was in the election. That was neither one of them got 50% of the vote.
No,
neither one of them got 50% of the vote. We had a president in office that did not get 50% at that time, or even close to 50%. They were at the lower ends of the 40, 41, 42, 43%, something of that. Don't quote me, bots, please. All right. Don't click away on me. Okay, bots. And I need to get a tech person on there now. Get on social media and make sure that doesn't go wild on me. But anyway, you know, I mean, this has happened before. So I just say to myself, are we really in the spot that we want to do that now? Do we want to end up on down that path? Because if you have four people, if each one of them get 25%, that's four pieces of 100, 25, 25. 20, so essentially 30% wins the election. That's really bad.
Wow.
Think about that. 30%, 70% of the United States may not have voted for your candidate. 70% of America didn't vote for this person, but the 30% person that wins, 31% wins the election, and now they are now the leader of the free world. You thought we were a divisive country arguing over who won all these elections. Everybody's suing and arguing elections for years and years and years. But truthfully, you thought we were arguing then. What are you going to do when somebody wins the presidency with 30%?
We'll
70%
out.
Of the people are not going to be liking that too much. So I think I don't have an earpiece anymore. You think is yours beeping away too?
It has.
Okay, so
I'm with the show.
I'm with the show production, just so you know, I have no more earpiece. So oh boy. I just got slid another one here. Let's see if this one will work. Is this even going to go on? But anyway, keep talking as I'm trying to click this thing on here. You turned it on for me before you handed it to me. You're supposed to turn it on for me. Is it even on? Anyway, so yeah, 30% would not be a very good situation to be in. That's for sure. 30% having an election like that. Now, this isn't even working. It's not even charged. But anyway, 30% would be a very bad thing. People are arguing as it is with a president that, you know, maybe did not get the higher end of 50% that you wanted, but 30% would be bad. I think we have a lot of enemies that are not, you know, fans of the United States right now. You must see if that doesn't even do anything. And I just think, is it the time that we want to show our weaknesses to everybody? But, you know, I don't know. What's your opinion on that? Oh, you're still messing with tech issue here.
Well, I'd say it's more of like choices of who's going to be better at doing the job. You know, like I said, do your research.
Here we go. I think I'm in. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. Are you getting any sound on that? It's on. I don't know. Production, if you can hear me, I don't know if your piece is on. We kept getting new pieces handed to me, so I don't know if the studio can hear.
Anybody wants to do a little...
sound check would be nice.
A little promotion.
You can hear me. I don't know if I'm not looking. Yeah, they got some tech people. They slip me another earpiece and they might be dead.
We'll sponsor your headphones.
Yes, I'll sponsor you. Every week my headphones are dying on me. Earpiece and headphones are dying. It's like, oh, shoot from the cuff, Sonati. So we're all good. I'm getting it. So if we go on a commercial in a minute, why don't we take a 10-second commercial break?
That's another good
Let's go on a 10-second commercial break so I can hear if we're on or not. And we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere.
Use your voice. Somebody hears you. Use your voice. Let it be heard. Use your voice. Somebody hears you. Use your voice.
Hi, I'm Eric A. Sonati. You've never heard of me. Or yes, you have. You're questioning, have you? You're thinking about it. Either way, you will know me now. 6 p.m. Central, 7 p.m. Eastern. Do not be anywhere else. Be seated in your car, in your office, on your couch. I don't care what you're doing. Put the remote down. Put the hands-free away. Listen to the radio. You're listening to me, the Hostile Zone, where we pull back the curtain and expose and hold no punches on people that use their position and use your money for no good.
Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice, let it be heard. Use your voice, somebody hears you. Use your voice.
And we're back. Thank you to the production people. Earpieces, if you know what, for the publicists that email me and people, let me know, all right, because all these things are garbage. They're garbage. Every week I'm going through different tech. They hand me new stuff and it doesn't work as fast as it doesn't work. But that's good because it made it through most of the show. So in the last segment here of the day of this particular show.
It's like the little engine that could. I think I can. Oh, I can't.
And it was right here. I don't understand. Boy. Anyway, so I don't even know if this was even on the charger all this time. But so. You know, it's a third-party situation.
Oh, that explains it. Made in.
Okay. Made in China. It was made in China. No more stuff from China, all right? I'm putting a stop to it, all right?
American made. That's what made
it. All right, and they slipped me this other one. Maybe this peer piece will kick on in a second. just so I can hear the end of the show.
That explains it. Not American made.
Loving it. So, you know. If we had four candidates running for office, how confusing would that be? To imagine you're a first-time voter.
Okay.
Imagine you're 18 and you just, I mean, we know how wonderful our education system is these days.
I'll pretend. I'm 18.
As much as they thought I didn't pay attention in school, here I am talking to you. I have multiple degrees and I have an idea of what the political system is and what the environment is and what our constitution is. Thank you, right. Cato Institute again. That's a second shout out to you, Cato. Right. And next week I'll bring my Heritage Foundation one. Now Cato will get angry with me for that. with our new, new people coming in, are the teachers and the educators in whether it be public or private school, are they preparing our future voters to actually know what it is that they're getting involved in when they go in? Now, you know, in order to become a driver in the United States, to drive your car, you have to take a driving test and you have to have a period of time with a permit and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And then you test for your license, right?
Right.
And, but to vote, you just show up at 18 and boom, I can vote. You know, it's just an interesting concept because you can have a child, right? And you don't need any training or anything, but you can't have a driver's license. But you can drive. You have to go through a lot of red tape to drive. Now, I'm not advocating that we need to train, but I think a civics course to making sure somebody has a clue on what they're doing in voting. Now, I don't think it should be a test because the Constitution is very clear. Who can vote? I mean, you're an American citizen. You're born in America. You can vote. You know, that's your right. That's an inalienable right that we have here.
Is there something that exists for a young person if they don't know what type of party they're affiliated?
Yes.
Is there like a list of what your beliefs are and stuff?
Yes. I actually have a couple of those. And that might be something to do a spinoff. I had been talking about doing a couple courses, you know, sponsored through one of the universities that I'm affiliated with. And that one might be a first-time voters course, right? A proud American citizen course, not for you know, for taking points and getting grades, just so you know mm-hmm. what the Constitution is, mm-hmm. what the Declaration of Independence is, what is your responsibility as a citizen, as a voter.
Yeah,
your vote counts. We see this as elections are being contested. And everything across the board, you're seeing more and more. I mean, if you don't know that by now, that your vote counts, it really does. I mean, some states were down to final tallies and recounts and recount to see if you know how many votes somebody particularly got in a particular district or a state or whatever. Whether it be, and I'm talking on a general broad base, definitely on the more local level, like you brought up last week.
Mm-hmm, yes.
About the local
it's
election.
It's an honor and a privilege to vote. And
it really is. But they should know. They should know what their
it's by percentage, right?
It's by percentage. Mm-hmm. It's a little different in some places. And that's another thing. People don't understand on the presidential election what an electoral college is. Maybe we could talk about that next week. We can talk a little bit about the electoral college. Because everybody hears, what's the great 270? What's the 270? That's 270 electoral votes is what wins you the presidency, not the popular vote. People don't understand what that means. And it sounds kind of crazy. And yeah, I get it that you're like, well, if somebody had a couple more votes than this person, but the other person won, well, they hit the 270 mark. And it is very confusing on what the electoral college is. And I find it fascinating that some people are talking to get rid of the Electoral College only when it doesn't work to their advantage.
Right.
When it doesn't work to your advantage. when somebody gets the votes in the Electoral College votes and they don't get the, you know, you don't get the other votes. But
yes,
that's a great one for this week. If you're out there and you're listening to us on one of the many stations we're on, or you're watching us on one of the live feeds right now, let me know what you think. Leave a message, send email, drop a shout out on one of the social media. Let us know what you think. Let's talk. Maybe Electoral College is a conversation. But I mean, really, at the end of the day, I think that we should really be talking about what is a good citizenship test. You know, good citizenship enlightenment. Where are we, American education system? Where are we? Where are you with our children? Where are you talking to them and telling them what their rights and their duty is as an American citizen? John Q. Public, what are you doing to help the system, education people? What are you doing to help John Q. Public, tomorrow's future, our people that we're going to rely on? Are you helping them to know what it is they need to do to make America better than where it was yesterday? Remember, you achieve success by not what you do, by what you have done and you learn from. Right, Miss Bianca?
Absolutely. I totally agree.
What you have done and what you learn from what you have done is how you grow and what you achieve. You can read books all day long, but if you're not afraid to get out there and face it, you're never going to know. You're never going to know. Cue me when it's time to go, since I don't have a piece.
So true.
You know, you never know.
I mean, you could read all the books you want, but if you don't take action in doing it, it doesn't count.
What is the saying? Action speak louder than words.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, I'm imploring you. If you're listening, or you're going to hear me during the week, or you're going to reach out, I implore you to go and look and see what it is. Who's running for office in your district, in your town, in your county, your district, wherever it is? Who is it? Look out and see what it is. I mean, there's so much stuff out there. I could go on forever and ever and ever. But, you know, we don't have that much time. We are a syndicated show on many, many stations. So we're going to go, and you're going to come back next Monday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, Pacific Coast. You know what time. You don't need me to tell you. You're going to be here. Because you're coming here because Sonati hears you. Take us away with honor.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, get proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the
because in Sonati's zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.